On November 25th, 1988, Junko Furuta was kidnapped, beaten, and raped. She was held captive for 42 days. But before we go any further, hello, and welcome to the Murder House Radio Show. I'm your host, X. On this show, we will be covering serial killers, killers, disappearances, true crime, and the most deplorable things and people in history. Uploads will take place every Friday at 4:30 Mountain Standard Time. Please hit the like and subscribe button, and hit the bell notification to get all notifications, and hit the follow button if you are listening on a podcasting platform. With all that out of the way, sit back, grab some coffee or whatever your preferred beverage is, turn down the lights, and enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome back for another episode. Before we get into this episode, just a little disclaimer. This case has a lot of disturbing content, so viewer's discretion is advised. And this case takes place in Japan, and I do not speak Japanese, so I will do my best to pronounce these names correctly and fluently, but don't get on me in the comments. But without any further ado, let's get into today's episode. On that fateful day, Junko was riding her bike home from her part-time job at an electronic retailer, when Hiroshi Miyano and his friend Nobu Minato kidnapped Junko off her bike. Miyano then took Junko to an abandoned warehouse, where he sexually assaulted her and beat her. He had said to her that he has connections to the Japanese mafia, the Yakuza, and also said that they know where her family lives, and that they would kill them if she said anything to the police. He then took her to a hotel where he and two other men took turns sexually assaulting her. After these atrocities, they took her to Minato's parents' house. After Junko was missing for 3 days, Junko's mother was working with the police concerning her daughter. Junko was forced to call her parents to tell them that she had ran away and not to look for her. Now, no matter how scared you are of your kid or what have you, bringing a girl home, especially in the condition Junko was in, I'm assuming she was all beat up, looking traumatized and scared and whatnot, the parents should have done something, no matter what. That's just beyond me. But anyway, let's continue. Minato's parents and brother knew Junko was in the house. Minato tried to convince them that Junko was a girlfriend of one of his friends. They didn't believe him, but they didn't care. The parents and brothers said they were scared of Minato's anger, his retribution, and his Yakuza ties. Still, I still think they should have taken matters to the police. It probably could have saved this poor girl's life and put a stop to this monster. Minato and his friends would brag about holding Junko captive. They would invite people over to use Junko. And I think you can read in between the lines on what that one means. It was believed over 100 men have done this to her, sometimes up to 12 a day. So they were using her as a sex slave, basically. During these 42 days, she was barely fed and barely had anything to drink. When she would throw up from dehydration, she would be beaten for the fact she threw up. They would force her to be naked, putting her in a freezer, and forcing her to sleep on the balcony in the cold. After about 20 days, she was unable to walk. They would set her legs on fire with lighter fluid and smash her hands with dumbbells. One night, Junko tried to escape, crawling down the stairs. Her captors were drunk. They found her trying to escape. And when she was calling the police, Miyano found her and hung up the phone. One thing there, the police usually always follow up on a hung up call. They send a cruiser over, or at least call back, so something is definitely mishandled there. I don't know how they do things in Japan, but that's how they do things where I am. They come back and they follow up on a hung up call. They then proceeded to set her on fire and stomp on her head on concrete. They had beaten her so badly they no longer felt aroused by her. Which I don't know how they could, because I'm fairly certain, well, I'm guaranteeing, she wasn't in the best condition. So, I'm just a loss for words. This is very disturbing. So, they did the same thing they did to another one of their victims. On January 4th, 1989, after a defeat in gambling, her captors were upset. Her captors beat and burned her for 2 hours. Junko went into shock and died the next day. Minito's brother called to inform Minito that Junko had passed. They put her body in a 55-gallon oil drum and filled it with concrete and left it at a construction site in Kato, Japan. One of Minato's friends, Hiroyoshi, was being questioned for the rape of a 19-year-old girl where he confused her with Junko. He had thought his other friends had already told the police about Junko, so he told them his version of the story and told them where to find the body. They had to identify her by her fingerprints because she had been beaten and disfigured so badly. The autopsy also revealed that Junko was pregnant. When Junko's mother found out the details of the murder, she had to be submitted to psychiatric care, which is completely understandable. 100% understandable. The police were unable to release these monsters' names because they were underage. However, the media leaked them. I also don't get how young people can commit such atrocities such as this. I don't know if all of them were underage, but yeah, that I digress to that. They were tried as adults due to public backlash and the nature of the crimes, as they should. They got light sentences. They were charged with causing bodily injuries resulting in death. Hiroyoshi was sentenced to 17 years, but it got increased to 20 after an appeal. Minito got 5 to 7 years. Otahaba got 9 years, and Joe got 8 years. After they were released, Minito changed his name to Shinji and was later arrested for attempted murder. Joe changed his name, but I couldn't find to what. But Joe bragged about the killing, and his father felt so much shame that he said he would donate his life savings to Junko's family. Joe took the money and spent it. Joe's mother blamed Junko for ruining her son's life. She allegedly vandalized Junko's grave. This case is definitely sad, And these punishments are definitely too light. I think they should have been put down for this. 100%. They should have been put down. I'm sorry it's so scattered. When I was researching it, it was, the case was a bit scattered itself. But, the names were hard to keep track of who did what and whatnot. But, Manito was, the ringleader, I guess you could say. Because he's the one who initially kidnapped her. So, yeah, there's that. It was interesting researching this. I can't say I enjoyed it, because that'd be, fucked up. But, yeah. That is the case of Junko Furuta. Thank you for listening to this episode of the Murder House Radio Show. Please like, comment, subscribe, and share for more if you are viewing on YouTube. Leave recommendations for future episodes in the comments. Don't forget to hit the bell notification to get all notifications. If you are listening on a podcasting platform, hit follow, and it doesn't hurt to give a 5-star review. I hope you have a good rest of your day. This is your host X, signing off.